Okay. Well, thank you to you both. I don't know how you all feel about this part of the service each week, the talk or the sermon. As we look back through history, sermons have not always been the most popular things. The famous writer Anthony Trollope was definitely not a fan of sermons. In his book, Barchester Towers, this is what he says about preaching. There is perhaps no greater hardship at present inflicted on mankind than the necessity of listening to sermons. No one but a preaching clergyman has in these realms the power of compelling an audience to sit quiet and be tormented. A member of parliament can be coughed down or counted out. Town councillors can be tabooed, but no one can rid himself of a preaching clergyman. He is the bore of the age and the nightmare that disturbs our Sunday's rest. I hope you don't feel like that about it when I preach or Melvin or Ian. I was thinking, I do remember as a teenager going to church, I went to a church which had chairs of four joined together in rows, and there were six of us in my family, so we took up a row and a half and we made up half the congregation. And we had to sit through sermons by our rector, which I didn't really always understand. But I had to really concentrate because he had this habit of suddenly pausing and then asking you a question in the middle of the talk. Just, I think, maybe to see if I was listening or awake. So going along to church at that point in my life wasn't necessarily very enjoyable, but it still had an impact on me, and it did lay the foundations for my faith that was to come later in my life. But thinking about going to church, it does mean we have to make a sacrifice, don't we, of our time. We could all be off. You could all be off doing other things. You could be out doing walking or activities. But actually, you've chosen to come together so that we can worship together as a church family. It has been interesting, hasn't it, noticing the patterns over the last year, depending on whether we were in total lockdown or slightly lifting restrictions as to what we were allowed to do. Because when we were in total lockdown, our attendance has definitely been highest because we haven't been asked to do anything else. So we've all been able to come and join in. But obviously, as we get those restrictions lift, we've got more opportunities to do things, and particularly at the moment, to go and see friends and family or even to go on holiday, which I know a lot of us are looking forward to. It's interesting, isn't it, how many of the pressures of life come and we have to juggle things. And that juggling is hard and it makes us tired. And I think, therefore, committing to things is harder. So, well, in that that reading that Liz read to us today, we heard about a service that went on from dawn until noon, so about 5 hours long. But not only was it really well attended, it was also joyful and life-changing to the people who were listening to it. And it was quite surprising, actually, that they all came along because they were really tired. They had spent months and months renewing and repairing all the walls of Jerusalem. So they'd been working for nearly 2 months solidly on constructing the wall. But they came to this event that was planned. And we just heard they built this high platform, and all the people were called to attend so they could hear the law being read by Ezra. But why did they have to hear it? Well, what Nehemiah realized is that the law was written in Hebrew rather than in Aramaic, and people hadn't heard it and they didn't understand it. So what they needed was for the law to be read to them and explained to them. It would have been a bit like if you went back in history in England to the 16th century, because the Bible was always in Latin, and then William Tyndale translated it. And then Archbishop Thomas Cranmer made sure there was a copy of the Bible in every parish church. And then King Edward VI appointed preachers to go up and down the country, explaining the Bible and preaching the gospel. But, you know, they called this meeting, but as we know, when you call a meeting, it doesn't mean that everybody's going to come. But actually, all these builders came back to the city en masse and brought all their families and their friends with them. So men, women and children who were old enough to understand all joined together in the Square. And people estimate there would have been 30,000 people there. I can't imagine preaching to 30,000 people. So an awful lot of people all came really excited to hear what God had to say to them. So what had changed? Oh, I forgot to move my slides on. What had made these people so anxious to hear God's word? Well, it was the Holy Spirit that had been at work in these people. The true work wasn't just about rebuilding the walls. It was about rebuilding the people of God, giving them an interest in God, a concern for godly things, and a desire for God's blessing. Next week, we're going to be celebrating Pentecost and remembering the Holy Spirit coming in power on the first disciples in Jerusalem. And there have been other times in history when God's Spirit has worked in a similar way, stirring up entire communities. So in the 18th century, there was a spiritual revival both here and in America that was sparked and sustained by the preaching of people like Whitfield and Wesley, where God's Spirit really worked in power to stir up that sense of spiritual need in people. And then there was the Welsh revival in 1904 to 1905, that resulted in over 150,000 people being converted and added to churches and chapels in Wales. Lives were transformed, lifestyles changed, homes and families were healed, and churches were packed and on fire with fervour and zeal. And it was similar back in Jerusalem in the seventh month of 444 BC. All these people were really keen to hear what God had to say to them. They spent 5 hours listening with no coffee breaks, just wanting to hear what God's law was and to understand it. And it wasn't a one-off thing either, because they gathered again the next day and they started to follow through on the things that were being explained to them. So they had a festival of shelters, and then later on they had a national day of repentance and recommitment. And when they had that day, it says in Nehemiah 12:43, on that day, they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and children also rejoiced, and the sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. This was an exciting day. There were singing, loud instruments, and their praises were heard for miles around. It was a good time for the Jews, and we can understand why. They had put hard work into rebuilding the wall. They'd experienced real community, working together, loving and caring for each other, and they had experienced God at work in their midst. The people of Israel knew joy because God had not given up on them. He'd not abandoned them, but he brought them to this place and this time where they could make a new start with him. And I believe that through this time of COVID, God has built us together as a church community too. There's been a real sense of working together and growing deeper in our faith as we've talked and prayed and worshipped in the last year. And there's also for us that same sense of new starts as we step into starting up Growing Hope High Wycombe and creating something that will be a blessing to many families in our town and community. And we know that as with the building of the walls, there'll be challenges along the way and lessons for us to learn. But just as Nehemiah knew that this is what God was calling him to do, we too believe that this is what God is calling us to do. And as you heard from Corus, we've had real confirmation of this. We've already had £10,000 promised to us so that we can pay for the first 2 years of contributions for St. James to make. And we've got three trustees in place, which is fantastic. Nehemiah told the people, "The joy of the Lord is your strength," and that joy is what comes from God and sustains us. And obviously at the time this was written, Nehemiah's people really needed to know God's joy. They were in exile, they were having a really difficult time. And my prayer for us at St. James is that we too will experience that deep joy that God has in store for us. I think right now, few of us are in places of deep joy. We haven't been busy rebuilding walls, but we have been living through a life-changing pandemic And it stripped away so many things that we took for granted. In the letter of James, we read, it says, come near to God and he will come near to you. And we need to, like those people did in Nehemiah's time, we need to put ourselves in that place of being able to listen to God and spend time with him. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to renew us and to refresh us and give us a fresh hunger for his word. We need to spend time in worship and prayer and walking that path that he's set before us. And then I believe that he will refresh us, he will renew us, and he will fill us with that same joy that the people of Israel experienced at that service in Jerusalem. So let's just pray now. Father God, we thank you that we can see you at work in our lives, in the life of our church. We thank you for what you're calling us to and how you are going ahead of us and preparing the way and leading us every step of the way along that path. We thank you for your amazing provision for us. And we pray now, Lord, that as we start to emerge from this pandemic, you would fill us afresh with your joy and a sense of your hope, that we will be renewed in the areas where we need to be built up again. We pray that we would know you walking with us in the coming weeks and months ahead. And that we too would be really wanting to spend that time with you and to seek you as we continue to move forward in all that you've called us to. Amen.
Amen.